She's going to be a knockout for some of these young boys when they get older. You better get a bat. Knock the boys away. Okay, and we have Ricky Hole and Joseph Graham. And they're dedicating their little baby, Thomas Leonard Grahams. So we have a little boy. Patrick, don't leave yet. Look in that box back there that I've got the flower cases in. I left the wrong name back there. Thank you. Would you bring that up to me, please? Brother and sister Cone were going to dedicate their baby, but the flu bug hit their house, and one by one they dropped. So they couldn't come today. So now we have Lori Merkus and Jeff Merkus, if they would stand. And they are dedicating Luke Allen Merkus this morning. Hey, Luke, just think, you don't have to go in the nursery today. Isn't that great? And then, last but not least, we have Tim and Kayla Powell. They are here today to dedicate Robbie's little brother, who is a foster child, and they just got him, so he is a newborn. A week old, right? A week old today. So he is a tiny one. So we're so thankful for all of you this morning, and we're going to let Brother Grant come and do his thing. Isn't he a great guy? He is just a wonderful man.
Oh, thank you. Isn't she a lovely lady? Oh, praise God, praise God. Well, baby dedication, Calvary Gospel Church. We do this once a quarter, and it seems like that we never run out of babies. There's more than one way to grow a church, you know. So we've had 237 new births this year. And I don't know how many. When I say new births, I'm talking about spiritual births. Now, I don't know how many natural births. But it's my understanding we have some on the way. So probably next quarter we'll have a good crop. And we're very, very thankful for that. And it's good to see all of our guests. And while you're here, just understand that this is your church today. We are only trustees of what belongs to God. The church actually belongs to God. We have trustees who have their name on the note. And we hold this, though, for the Lord. And when people come in here, and even though we try to exercise good stewardship, we want you to know that you are certainly welcome. We want you to feel at home. If you're not accustomed to Pentecostal worship, we want you to just go ahead and worship God the way you feel that you'd like to worship the Lord. We've got several boys and one girl, I think, one girl today. And Sister Grant was talking about Holly and Don's baby. Well, Don, that baby's beautiful. Takes after her mother. And just thought I'd tell you that so that... Well, praise God. You take your Bibles and turn to 2 Timothy 3, and I'll not have you to stand because normally we do stand for the reading of the Word, but we're going to be explaining this as we go through. So it'll take me a little while to get through this. But 2 Timothy 3, verse 12 through 17. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Now, that was not only true then, but it's true now. You know, Paul made a statement. He says that I have become a fool for Christ's sake. He talks about the foolishness of preaching. Now, he wasn't talking about foolish preaching, but he was saying that when you compare preaching, which is the method that God uses to save people, when you compare that to salvation itself, you know, it's like going to a store and they have something that's 80 or 90% off, and you give your meager $20 and you get something that's worth several hundred dollars. And that's what he was saying. And when he said, I become a fool for Christ's sake, it simply means in the eyes of the world, if you're going to be a Christian, you're going to live in such a fashion that persecution is going to come. Some people are going to think that you're kind of out of your head, you know. And we have an example in the book of Acts where Paul was brought before Felix and Festus and Agrippa. And this is what they said. They said, Paul, much learning hath made thee mad. And the word mad there means insane. They said, guy, you are insane. You have lost your marbles. There's something wrong with you. And then, of course, Paul explained. He said, now, wait a minute. This thing that I'm involved in was not done in a corner. It was done openly in Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost, in which 3,000 people received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. So you're not ignorant of what happened there. And I am just a part of that. Now, verse 13, he said, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. The big thing this week on the news has been the scanning and the patting down of airplane riders, people, airline passengers, and a big, big upset. And I do a lot of scanning the internet for news. And it looked like yesterday was in some major airports in which they initiated this plan that it was just a log jam because people were refusing to be scanned. You know, you go in this little booth type thing and they scan you, and there you're standing there in the nude for someone to see. But on the other hand, it's the amount of radiation that it emits that some people are afraid of. You know, people who have had cancer that have had radiation treatments and such, they said, we don't want any more radiation. And yet they oppose the particular frisking or patting down. And the reason why I said this is that, you know, we're kind of caught between a rock and a hard place, because every opportunity that some people get, they will do evil. It's just in their hearts to do evil. And the Bible says that evil men and seducers will wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Verse 14, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. You see, Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. Also, Paul instructed us that we should know those who labor among us. Just don't take everybody's word. But when you see somebody that is producing the fruit of the Spirit, and they're living godly lives, and God has put his blessings upon them, you're acquainted with these people, then why not follow them if they are receiving the blessings of the Lord. Verse 15, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Now I'm going to be reading 2 Timothy 2, verse 1 and 2. So I'd like to just turn there in my Bible and read that. And then we're going to go back to verse 16. All right. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. He's talking about his spiritual son, Timothy. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. So the way the church was designed to grow by God, and in what we commonly call the Great Commandment, the Great Commission, is that one man finds another man, one woman finds another woman, or a family finds another family, and you teach them what they need to do to be saved. And then you see them saved, and then you teach them to teach somebody else what you have been taught. So the secret to the fulfillment of the Great Commission is found in the fulfillment. Now, that's how we are to reach our world. But it is also true, according to Scripture, that we are to pass our faith on to our children. I happen to be a third-generation Pentecostal. My mother was Pentecostal. She received the Holy Ghost as a teenager. My dad did not come into the church, however, until, the same time that I came in. My dad and I actually made the baptismal tank in our church in Henderson, and he was the first one baptized in it, and I was the second one. So we did this together. But my mom's parents became Pentecostal in the mid-1920s, about 1925, 1926. So that's not far removed from Azusa Street, the great revival that took place in Los Angeles. It spread from Houston, Texas, to Los Angeles, and then from Houston up into East Texas, which is about 145 miles from where I grew up. So my grandparents were recipients of the message in the early 1920s. So that's how I became a third generation Pentecostal. Then my son, Roy, who is one of our pastors, he would be here in the auditorium, but we have a little... Oh, he is here. He told me he was going over. Diane Nelson always takes care of the records over there. And because Diane was in here, he told me he was going over. You got to come up here and sit in my chair, Roy, okay? Come up here and sit on the front, okay? Then he is a fourth generation Pentecostal. And his daughter, Lana, who is in Minneapolis today on her way back, actually now, the fifth generation Pentecostal, and she married Marvin Renvick, and Marvin and Lana have one daughter, the delight of all of us, Ava. And I don't know, do you have Ava here? Okay, stand up, Marvin, if you would. Hold her up. We got to show her off, okay? Now, this is the sixth generation right here. Isn't that something? All right. Okay. All right. So this is what Paul is saying. He's saying that when we find someone, we pass it on, and then we teach them to pass it on also. So it's you keep handing it down. That's the way the body of Christ grows, but it's also the way that families grow. Now, because that in America we have no predominant culture, we are a melting pot of so many, many different cultures, You know, we have special days in which we celebrate our culture. We have African-American days, and Irish days, and Polish days, and German days, some German community, Norwegian days, and celebrate our culture. Because we like to, our culture seems to give us roots. We like to hold on to it, but we find that in America, it quickly slips from us, so we go back. And this is the reason why that I go to Cracker Barrel a lot, because they have a lot of Southern food at Cracker Barrel. So kind of a soul food thing, James. So James, Friday, catfish. Of course, not all you can eat. It's all you can eat for $9, I think it is, nine something. And if you want more, then you have to pay extra $9. So that's all they'll allow you to eat. Remember when I was a kid, I listened to Andy Griffin, and he was he was just a kid. Said, and I went by a lemonade stand, and real hot, came from the south, and this little girl had all the lemonade you can drink for 2 cents. So I drank one glass, and another glass, another glass, another glass. Finally, she said, that'll be another 2 cents. He said, well, it says all the lemonade you can drink for 2 cents. She said, and this is all you're getting for 2 cents. So it cracked. Cracker Barrel, all the catfish you can eat for $9. And that's just one plate. So, but, you know, the thing about it is that the church develops a culture, kind of a subculture, maybe you should say. You know, we are a holy nation. And sometimes because of our subculture, that's when we run into problems with the world. The world wants you to drink what they drink and listen to their stories. Some of those stories are quite vulgar. They want you to dress like they dress. And if you don't, then they persecute you. And sometimes giving your heart to God and coming into the church, sometimes your loved ones would do the same. But nevertheless, let's go back to 2 Timothy 2, and let's look at verse 15 again. 2 Timothy 3, I'm sorry, I said 2. Let's look at verse 15. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. You know, it's really amazing, though, that some of these people that really put pressure on you and persecute you, that when they need someone to pray and they need a miracle, they know who to call. We have that all the time. So today I'm just simply speaking on the subject, give them faith. How do you give them faith? You pass it on down. There is a responsibility, according to the Word of God, to teach your children the complete Word of God. That is, what God has in His Word that He requires a man. Last Wednesday night, we saw a video quiz, and we saw Dan Powell get up here, and Dan was talking about the value of quizzing. We have quiz teams that quiz against other churches. Some of our young people learn in excess of 400 scriptures a year. It's a lot of scriptures. And Brother Justin Wall is in charge of all this. Raise your hand, Justin. Okay. And he and Ryan hit his door. There's Ryan in the building. Ryan. How many quizzers do we have? Quizzers, okay. Here's a quizzer right here. Okay. And back in the back, okay. All right. I don't know how many scriptures that they've learned, but they can, you start a scripture and they can just, they tell you where it's found and they complete it. And they can stand up here and go scripture after scripture after scripture. Dan Powell, maybe you are not aware of this, but he teaches a youth class on Sunday morning, and he is really a very excellent preacher and teacher. And his roots go all the way back to quizzing. And now his son Jordan is walking in his footsteps. Jordan is feeling a call to preach. I didn't know if there was any hope for Jordan for a long time, because Jordan was always just playing with swords and guns, and he still does, huh? Still does. And Jordan is, what, 19? 19 years old. Julie, raise your hand. This is his mother, okay? But what an outstanding young man he is turning into. Deuteronomy, the sixth chapter, verse 4. This is the passage of Scripture that deals with the training of children, and also the principal Scripture. When I say principal, the primary Scripture of the Bible, Deuteronomy 6, verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. Now, when in Matthew 27, when the attorneys came to Jesus and they asked him, what is the greatest commandment in the Bible? He quoted this, and this is what he said. He went on to say, and love your neighbors yourself, which is found in Deuteronomy 7. But Jesus said, all of the Bible, all of the scriptures of the Bible hinge on this principle, that we are to love God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, and with all of our might, and we must understand that there's only one God. See, you can't love two with all of your heart. You can't love three with all your heart. But you can love one with all of your heart. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. Now, we can teach them that there's one God. But this business of loving God, how do we teach children to love God? Now, I could go through quite a number of points today to help you, but time will not allow us to. But basically, what happens is that more things are taught in the home by just passing them on to people. I'm just so amazed at what kids pick up from their parents. You know, sometimes kids will sit through an adult service and parents feel that, oh, the preaching just went right over their head. And the truth of the matter is that they accept things by faith. They don't ask all the whys and why nots and ifs that adults do. So maybe the preacher is preaching on, let's say, healing. And this next week, then the child stubs his or her toe, and first thing they want to do is pray. Where did you hear that? That's what Pastor Grant said. So pray for me. And when they get sick with a fever, pray for me. And they believe that Jesus will heal them. Didn't Jesus say concerning the children? He said, let the children come unto me. Because you need to learn a lesson here, that if The adults don't become as children. They cannot enter into the kingdom of God. In other words, children just seem to take it at face value, and they don't question everything. I want to be like a child. So how do we teach them to love God? You may teach them that God is one, but they need to love that God. More so by just giving your faith to them. And thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thy house, and when thou walkest in the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. I happened to grow up in a home in which my mother, my dad worked a night shift, and my mother kind of raised us in the daytime. Dad was working at night. And the truth of the matter is, she talked scripture. If we were eating, she talked scripture. If we were just sitting and talking, she always talked scripture. She talked scripture all the time. Thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thy hand. Thou shalt be as frontlets between thine eyes. So you take the word of the Lord and you bind it in your hand. I remember when I was going to Bible college, working a full-time job, had two children. And it was tough. The schedule was tough. I'd go to school every day till noon, and then actually I went to 11, and then I went straight to my job. And I had so many scriptures to learn. I took 3x5 cards, and I wrote the scriptures out and put them in my pocket. Every time I'd take a break on the job, I'd pull these scriptures out. While others are smoking cigarettes and telling jokes, I'm learning scriptures. That's the only opportunity I had to learn these scriptures. And there's scriptures that I know today that I learned back from those 3x5 cards that I had in my pocket. And I remember in our school, Gaston School, where I went to grade school, we had a contest as to how many scriptures in the book of John. Now, you know, this was a public school. You don't do that anymore, you know. But I quoted, I don't know how many, several chapters of the book of John. I won the contest. And in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him and without Him. And, you know, I learned those scriptures, and even now I can quote a good number of those scriptures. I learned those scriptures when I was in grade school, and I won the contest as a result. At the same time, they were having an art contest, and I won that. And they gave me a year's pass to the local theater. And I never went one time because my mom would not allow us to go to theaters. Because you know how evil movies were back then, don't you? You know, they were pretty bad back when I was growing up, you know. So, never went one time, but I won both contests. Now look at verse 12. Then beware lest thou forget the Lord, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Never forget where you came from. It's okay to pass it on to your children. Wow. Let's go to Proverbs, the fourth chapter. And we want to read verse 20 through 23. Proverbs, the fourth chapter. My son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my saying. In other words, listen up, boy. Jesus said, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Well, he was probably talking to a whole lot of people who had ears, but they didn't have ears to hear. You know, they only heard what they wanted to hear. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. keep thine heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way he shall go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Basically, what we do when we give them faith, we create an appetite. The reason why that I like to go occasionally and just kind of pig out on soul food, turnip greens and all this kind of stuff, which a lot of people just turn their nose up to it. But you who are German, you do the same thing. You know, when I first moved to Wisconsin, they introduced me to German potato salad. I hated this stuff. And I was in Shawano, and Shawano is predominantly a German town. German potato salad. Wow. Just hated that stuff. You know, I like it now. And the reason why I like it is because I've been to so many places where they have German potato salad. Now, that simply means that you develop an appetite for certain things. And that's what the Bible is saying. Create an appetite in the life of your child. I develop an appetite for Southern food because I grew up in the South. You know, I always thought, you know, the only way you cook a chicken is fry it. If you cooked it any other way, you just spoil it. Why would you want to spoil a perfectly good chicken by serving it any way other than fried? That's when I developed this saying of mine, every good preacher needs a chicken. No, that's not the way I say it, is it? I say every good chicken needs a preacher. You know, I love fried chicken, but you know what? I don't eat fried chicken much anymore. And I battle with that. I battled. The other night, guess what I did? I only had 20 minutes between appointments, and I would need to eat supper. So my wife and I went to KFC. You guessed it. And I ate 3 pieces of fried chicken. You know what? I didn't feel guilty. I'm on this special diet. I did not feel guilty. I didn't have enough time for anything other than that. I can't get it out of my system. And I think that I am speaking to some young people, too, in our church that are somewhat wayward. And you think that you're going to get out of your system all those things that you've been taught when you were a child. No, you develop an appetite for them one day, and you may not eat them anymore, because somebody has made you believe that those delicacies that are served in a Pentecostal church are not really that healthy. And you're eating something else. And this is the importance of us teaching our children. You see, train up a child. When he is old, he will not depart. And I know we have wayward young people, but I am believing that these young people who have heard the Word of God over and over and over and over and over and developed an appetite, you know, you taste of God. Did you know God is delicious? I know that some of you say, oh, Psalm 34, verse 8, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Isn't that something? But whatever you train your children on, they develop an appetite for it. I suppose that if we'd have taken little Ava when Ava first started eating and we went out and got night crawlers and we started feeding her night crawlers, she'd eat night crawlers just like she eats spaghetti. And when she gets old enough to talk, then we shouldn't be surprised if she asks for a night crawler. You understand what I'm saying? And this is the reason why in some homes where there's just disarray and there's an absence of teaching Christian principles and everything, and children grow up, and then the parents say, I wonder why they're asking about this. I wonder why they're going out and doing this. Because they develop an appetite for all of that junk while they were in the home. You can allow television programming that should be restricted, not shown in the home for adults or children. You can't allow children to grow up watching that and expect them to be morally clean the rest of their lives. You can't expect young people who do not see integrity and honesty in the home to grow up to be people of their word. You can't expect it. If they grew up in a home that's critical, guess what's going to happen? When they get older, they also will be critical because that's the appetite that they've developed. So we want to give them faith. I must hasten along here, Romans 8:17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of the Lord. Pastor and Sister Thomas are both sick with the flu this morning. Brother Thomas and Sister Thomas are extremely dedicated people. If you want someone to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, they're just the people to send. If you've got someone around the altar praying that are having problems, let Brother Thomas or Sister Thomas pray for them. You know the reason why? It's because they give people faith. They just know how to do this. They emit faith. By that I mean they give it out. They discharge it. They transfer it. If you talk scripture to a person on your job and you keep talking scripture, you don't be surprised if that person doesn't come back and use scripture. I remember a boy I worked with years ago that told me, oh, he didn't believe in God. He wasn't for sure if there was a heaven or hell, but he said, you know, I've always wiggled out of every problem I've gotten into, and if I meet God on the judgment day and I'm not prepared, I think I can wiggle out of it. Well, I just started using scripture around him. One day he came to me, and he was asking me for something, and he said, remember, it's more blessed to give than to receive. I said, where do you think that principle came from? He says, it probably comes out of the Bible. I said, I thought you didn't believe the Bible. And then he turned around, so help me, and he used a phrase that you hear when people are a little bit discombobulated. He says, oh, land of Goshen. And I said, land of Goshen, that's where the children of Israel dwelt before they came out of bondage. I said, where'd you learn that? He said, I don't know, somewhere. You know. And would you believe that just me talking to him, just using scripture occasionally, didn't preach to him because he don't want any preaching. He started using scripture, and after a while, I was able to witness, really sit him down and talk with him about the Lord. This is what Brother and Sister Thomas do when they pray for people. Now, they're not the only people in our church that really are good at praying for people. But I noticed this in Brother Thomas and Sister Thomas, same thing. They start praying with people. They talk about repentance. They talk about how God wants you to repent. And they quote them scripture. And then when the person has fully repented, they begin to quote them scriptures about worship and about receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost. This promise is unto you and your children, to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. God wants to give you the Holy Spirit. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of the Lord. Now there's a measure of faith given to every man. That simply means that these children that we will be dedicating here in just a few minutes, that the voice of God was resident in their hearts and minds before they were ever born. For the grace of God that worketh salvation hath appeared unto all men. So there's a measure of faith given to them. And when you take and you transfer faith to them, their faith just grows. Nobody is really filled with the Holy Ghost as a result of somebody else's faith. You got to have faith yourself. But you are able to give them faith. And in your home, this is what you do. You give your children faith. If Brother and Sister Thomas can give faith to people by just praying with them. Ask, it shall be given to you. Seek, ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be open. If your heavenly Father knows how to give good gifts, how much, or if your earthly Father knows how to give good gifts, how much more shall your heavenly Father know how to give good gifts to them that ask? And I've noticed the number of scriptures that they quote to people. In just short order, you find so many of these people just because they're discharging their faith. They're giving it out. They are admitting it. They're transferring it. And this is what you have to do as a parent. Your primary responsibility is take the Word of God. Teach it in such a way that it's delicious to your children so that they will create an appetite for it. You know, you can always use the Bible as a club to beat people down. You know, you catch a young person doing something wrong and say, son, if you don't straighten up, you're going to burn in hell. And just use the Bible as a club. Now, that may be true. But I guarantee you that if you've done it correctly before that age, that child already knows that. Now, that doesn't mean you're not to inform him, but if you're going to inform him, you got to make sure that you do it with love. So you transfer your faith. I've always believed that parents should be very open to their kids. Transfer your faith. When things are good in your home, let them know that things are good in the home, that God is blessed, that He is the giver of all these good gifts. When things are not so good, when things are lean and tough and bills can't be paid, in your family devotion, get them praying about that. I've known parents that wouldn't allow their children ever know that they had a hardship because they didn't feel that it was right to put them under that kind of pressure. Who said? What do you want to do? Raise somebody that doesn't know how to resist hardships. Tough-minded kids can be good kids. Let them know when things are bad. Let them pray with you. If you're sick, share your sickness and get them praying. If they're sick, let them share their sickness. Everybody prays about it. If everybody's healthy, thank the Lord that everybody's healthy in this household. If there's trouble and sorrow, emotional distress or whatever, get them involved. Because in doing so, you transfer your faith to them. So give them faith. It's time for us to dedicate our children. So we would like for all of you to stand at this time. We have selected our ministers. I think there were five ministers asked to help with us and the Cones because of flu. We're not able to bring their child. So we'd like for our ministers to come forth. If you have one too many, then we'll just we'll have five down here, even though we have four children. So come on down. If you were asked to serve, Brother O'Neill, come on down. I'm not for sure who all was asked. One, two, three. I think this is enough right here. Okay. Okay, if it be your intent to dedicate your child to the Lord, we'd like for you to bring forth your child. Just stand right in front of one of our ministers. Would you do that? Now, in the Bible, they did not baptize infants. That was a practice that was picked up in the church about the 6th century. The example, according to Scripture, was the dedicating children. And when you take your child and you put it in the hands of a minister, you know, we pray for the sick and we anoint them with oil. The Bible tells us to do that. This oil is a symbol of the Holy Ghost. And the minister then stands in God's stead. Well, we do not feel that these ministers are perfect. We do not feel that these ministers are doing anything other than just standing in God's stead. We want you to take your child and place it in the hands of the minister at this time, symbolical of you placing your child in the hands of God. And then we want family members to come and stand behind these couples. Just come. And friends, if you've come, all of you who have come, stand closely. All right. We're going to reach out. We've got one here that's not wanting to cooperate. That's still all right. He's going to be dedicated anyway. There you go. He wants just look you eye to eye, James, okay? Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Jesus, we pray right now, Lord, as we lift up these children, that you will accept this gift from us, oh God. But we understand that the gift really belongs to you to start with. That these children are on loan from heaven. All souls are mine. The soul of man, the soul of a woman, and the soul of a child. But Lord Jesus, we want to formally recognize in the presence of all the angelic beings that witness this, all the friends and family members and the saints of God that witness this, that we recognize your lordship. And therefore, Lord, we dedicate this child to you. And I'm praying, oh God, that the day will come when each one of them will hear the preaching of the word of God, when they're old enough to make a decision on their part, and they will come and give their heart to you, that they would be baptized in Jesus' name and filled with the gift of eternal life. And I pray, God, keep your hand upon them all the days of their life until they walk into eternity to be with you forever. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, amen. Now, each family member, just reach out and touch the other until you reach out and touch the parents. We're going to dedicate the parents. We'd like for our praise singers to come. God, I ask of you right now that you stretch forth your hand. I'm praying, God, that you touch mom and touch dad and touch the family members. Grant to them the wisdom they need. Keep them dedicated, oh God. Keep them in your protective custody, oh God. Give them all the wisdom they need, for this is a very trying generation that we live in. I pray right now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that these parents be dedicated to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, amen. Now you may give the children back. And then you family members who are here, if you want to just go ahead and start congratulating each other. Brother Hawk, though, will lead all of you out in the auditorium. Out in the lobby, pardon me, from the auditorium. And we will conclude our service. So if you'll just follow him, and we have a certificate for you in which we will give to you in a few moments out in the lobby. We want our praise singers to sing.